Well, this morning we're going to look together at Psalm 121. This psalm is sometimes referred to as the Traveller's Psalm, because this is one of the psalms that Old Testament pilgrims used to sing as they travelled to Jerusalem for one of the great religious festivals. In the spring, there was the Feast of the Passover. In the early summer, there was the Feast of Pentecost. And in the autumn, the Feast of Tabernacles. And as pilgrims travelled to Jerusalem, sometimes covering very great distances, this was one of the psalms that they would sometimes sing. Well, down through the centuries, this is a psalm that believers have often turned to before embarking on some long and possibly difficult journey. For example, David Livingstone, the famous pioneer missionary, before he set out on his long journey to Africa, he records in his diary how on the morning of his departure, he got up at 5 o'clock, and he and his family together, they read this psalm, and then he left Glasgow for Liverpool and the long voyage to Africa. Well, as these Old Testament pilgrims sang this psalm as they travelled to Jerusalem, they were really expressing their faith and their trust and their confidence in God, the God they were going to Jerusalem to worship. Well, the God they worshipped all those centuries ago is the same God that we are worshipping this morning. Now, obviously, we live in very different times. Our culture, our way of life is very different from theirs. But the God we worship this morning is the same God that they worshipped all those centuries ago. And for that reason, we too can claim this psalm which expresses the believer's trust and faith and hope and confidence in God. Well, as we look at this psalm, I just want us to notice very briefly three things that the psalmist tells us about God, the God in whose presence we meet this morning, the God we worship. And let's notice, first of all, the psalmist tells us that he's a God who cares. He's a God who cares. Indeed, on 5 occasions in this very short psalm, we are told that the Lord watches over his people. We have it there in verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Just as a mother watches over her child, just as a shepherd watches over his flock, so the Lord watches over his people. He's a God who's concerned about us. He's a God who cares. Many years ago, there was a well-known Anglican bishop by the name of Taylor Smith. And in his study over the fireplace, he had a framed Bible text. It was from the old King James Version. And the Bible text said this: Thou God seest me. And one day somebody visiting the bishop said to him, don't you find those words rather disturbing? To think that God is watching you all the time. Oh no, said the bishop, I find those words very comforting. They remind me that I'm so precious to God, he can't take his eyes off me. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says that God is constantly watching over his children, night and day, because he's a God who is concerned about us. He's a God who cares. You may remember the Lord Jesus emphasizes that truth in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just read some verses from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus says God looks after the birds. He cares for them. He provides them with food. Well, if God is concerned about the birds, how much more concerned must God be about his children? God is our Father. He's not the father of the birds, he's their creator. He's not their father. And yet God is concerned about them. Jesus says, your heavenly Father, not their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? And we find a few chapters later in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus continues that theme. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus says God is concerned. He's intimately concerned about each one of us. He's a God who cares. And you know, if we're ever tempted to doubt or to question that, then what we need to do is look again at the cross. Because the cross shows us the immensity of God's love, the care, the concern that God has for people like you and me. Now, some people, of course, they look at the world today and they say, how can you possibly believe in a God of love? How can you preach about a God who cares when such dreadful things are happening in the world? The war in Ukraine, the COVID pandemic, shootings and murders in our towns and cities almost every weekend. How can you speak about a God who loves? Well, we believe in a God of love because we look at the cross. We don't look at the world around us. This is a fallen world. It's a sinful world. It's a world in rebellion against God. It's a world under the judgment of God. We don't look at the world. No, we look at the cross. And there we see the greatest demonstration of love this world has ever seen. Paul says in Romans 8, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how precious, that's how valuable we are to God. That's how much God cares. He gave up his only son to take our punishment for sin upon the cross. You know, George Mueller, the man who in the 19th century was responsible for the founding of many orphanages and who relied entirely on God to provide the money and the food that the orphanages needed. On his desk, he had a motto card. And the words on the card were these: it matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. And for George Mueller, those words were really a paraphrase of the words of Peter. in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, where Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The psalmist says the Lord watches over his people. He's a God who cares. He's a God who's concerned about you. But then secondly, the psalmist tells us something else. He's a God who cares, but he's also a God who helps. He's a God who helps. Now, when these pilgrims set off for Jerusalem, no doubt they were feeling very excited at the prospect of visiting the holy city, the prospect of taking part in one of the great religious festivals in Jerusalem. But no doubt at the same time, they were probably feeling a little apprehensive, because for many of them, a very long journey stretched in front of them, possibly a very difficult and a very hazardous journey. Well, the psalmist here reminds them that as they travel, God is with them. And whatever fears or cares or needs they might have, God's help is always available. The psalmist says, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes not from the hills. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you know, this morning, friends, if we are the children of God, if we trust in the Saviour, then we can echo those words of the psalmist. We too can say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, as we travel the journey of life, very often we too are faced with all kinds of problems and difficulties. We are faced with things that cause us worry and care and concern. But you know, whatever our circumstances might be, we always have someone to whom we can turn. We can always cry out to God for help. And God is always there. He's always listening. Indeed, the psalmist tells us in verses 3 and 4 that unlike you and me, he's a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. I remember some years ago now, many years ago now, when our youngest son, Ben, was still living at home, one evening he said he was going out with some of his friends. And I said to him, I said, well, if you're late back, I said, come in quietly, don't disturb me and your mum. Well, he said, I won't be late back. He said, I'll be in no later than 11. Well, I said, in that case, I'll probably still be up. Well, sometime after 10 o'clock, Linda went to bed, and I stretched out on the sofa to watch the news, and at 10:30, I switched over to Newsnight. And the next time I looked at my watch, it was midnight. And so, rather annoyed, I telephoned Ben on his mobile. I said, Ben, what are you doing? It's midnight. Where are you? And a very tired, sleepy voice said, Dad, I'm upstairs in bed. You were fast asleep on the sofa when I came in, and I thought it best not to disturb you. Well, how dreadful it would be if God were like you and me, if God were to feel tired, if God were to fall asleep, how dreadful that would be. But the psalmist tells us, he who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And so whenever we cry out to God, day or night. God is always listening. And whatever our need might be, God's help is always available. We may need comfort. We may need encouragement. We may need wisdom. We may need guidance. But whatever the need, God's help is always available. But not just available, God's help is always adequate. The psalmist says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Is the Lord really able to help me? With all my problems, which seem so difficult, so complex, is the Lord really able to help me? Well, surely, if the Lord had the power to make the heaven and the earth, he certainly has the power to help you and me, regardless of what our problems might be. Paul says in Ephesians 3, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I suppose the question we need to ask is this: when needs arise, where do we turn? Do we turn immediately to the Lord? Or do we sometimes look for help in the wrong places? Looking to someone or somebody that can't really help us at all. The story is told of Oswald Chambers, a very well-known Bible teacher of a previous generation. And on one occasion, a woman came up to him and she said, "Mr. Chambers, can you spare me a moment? I've so many problems, I desperately need your help." And Oswald Chambers looked at the woman and he said, "Let me ask you a question. Tell me, have you told the Lord about your problems?" And the woman, rather taken back, said, well, no, I haven't." "Well," said Oswald Chambers, "you go home, get down on your knees, tell the Lord about your problems, and then come back and see me. But only come back if you still need my help." Now, Oswald Chambers wasn't trying to fob the woman off. He was simply reminding her of the importance of seeking God first. I remember reading a poster on a wayside pulpit, and the poster said this: "Is God your first resource or your last resort?" Sadly, many people make God their last resort. They only turn to God when everything else seems to have failed. But the psalmist here is encouraging you and me this morning to always make God our first resource. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." He's a God who cares. He's a God who helps. And then let's notice, thirdly and finally, he's a God who keeps. He's a God who keeps. Verse 7. "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." The psalmist says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm." Well, what does he mean? After all, as Christians, we are never promised immunity from the trials and the difficulties and the problems of life. We're never promised immunity from sickness, from pain, from accidents, and so on. Those things are common to everybody. And so what does the psalmist mean when he says the Lord will keep you from all harm? Well, surely what the psalmist means is this, that nothing can harm God's children in the sense that nothing can harm our souls. Our souls are safe and secure in God's care and keeping. Indeed, you remember those words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, as believers, our salvation is guaranteed. Our souls are safe and secure in the hands of Jesus. Indeed, in John chapter 10, Jesus, speaking as the Good Shepherd, gives us this lovely promise. Jesus says, I know my sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. That's the promise of Jesus. He tells us that we are safe and secure, that no one can snatch us out of his hand. But you know, having said that, perhaps there are times in life when, in the midst of all the pressures and the demands and the challenges of daily living, perhaps there are times when we don't always feel very secure. Perhaps sometimes, like the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73, we almost feel that we're losing our hold on God. We almost feel that we're just holding on by our fingertips. But you know, whenever we feel like that, that's all it is. It's only a feeling. Because God's word teaches us and assures us that regardless of our feelings, God will never lose or loosen his hold on you or me. God has promised that he's going to hold on to us and he's going to keep us to the very end. You know, sometimes when I'm out with some of my younger grandchildren, and we're approaching a very busy road, I might say to my grandchildren, hold my hand. And holding hands, we cross the road in safety. But you know, my grandchildren are safe. Not really because they're holding my hand. They're safe because I'm holding theirs. And I'm holding them tightly and firmly and securely. Well, I want to say this morning, if you're a child of God, then the hand that holds you right now, it's a loving hand, it's a strong hand, it's a mighty hand, it's a powerful hand. And it's a hand that will never let you go. And it's a hand that one day will take you safely home to heaven. The psalmist says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And so this was the psalm. This was the song the pilgrims sang. A song that expressed their faith, their trust, their hope, their confidence in God. And this morning, we too, we can have a similar trust, a similar faith, a similar confidence in God. Because God never changes. And the God they trusted all those centuries ago is the God we trust this morning. He's a God who cares. He's a God who helps. He's a God who keeps. Let's bow together in prayer. I want to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you are. We thank you that you are the living God, the unchanging God, the God who is our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, the God who is concerned about every detail of our lives. And Father, we pray this morning that in the midst of all the pressures and demands of challenges of life, that we might keep our eyes upon you. Father, help us to trust you. And Father, we pray that the truths of your word, the truths we've considered this morning, we pray that those truths might be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.